Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Today, I get to share with you one of my deepest desires in my entire life. You might think it's silly, but I'm going to share it anyways. One of the deepest desires of my life is to, one morning, be able to wake up, and as I open my eyes, to see everything as clearly as I see them right now. Few of you might be nodding your head. You all understand why. The people I see nodding their heads are wearing glasses. I wear glasses too. I wear contacts, so that's why you don't see my glasses on right now. And my eyesight, it's not like if I have my glasses and contacts off, I can kind of get by. You know, there's some people like that. Mine, if I was looking right at Liz Potts, I couldn't even see anything. It'd just be this big blurry mess, right? And if I looked at the screen, I would say there's some light there, but there's no words. And it'd be a rough time, right? I want to see clearly without my glasses or contacts, and it would just be incredible. I don't know what it's like. I got glasses in fifth grade, but I can't remember before that what it was like to just wake up and see clearly. Now, I think we all know the importance of good vision. And Liz, sorry, I didn't mean it that way, but good vision, right? We know the importance. If you're driving, you kind of need to see clearly. Otherwise, you might not see the car in front of you, the person, or the object on the road. It's very, very important. It's important to see clearly maybe at night as you get out of bed to go get a drink of water or go to the bathroom so you're not running into everything in your house and breaking it. It's important to see clearly for work, for school, for whatever you're doing. And it's not just important to see clearly physically, we know that's true, but it's also important to see clearly when it comes to problem solving, right? To know what's all happening and to see the whole problem clearly, to know what you've tried in the past and to know what you need to do in the future to see the problem get fixed. It's important to see clearly to know yourself so you can either work on those flaws that you have or know when to hold your tongue when you want to get all fired up and speak, to see clearly about yourself. But it's also very important to see clearly when it comes to spiritual matters. Most importantly, I think, to see clearly to know about ourselves spiritually. And today, as we talk about seeing clearly, our Savior comes to us through his word to help us do this. And he's going to help us see our sin. He's going to help us see our Savior. He's going to help us see our situation, what that all means, to live in the light of Christ, that Jesus is the light of the world. And he's going to do this through a healing, through a powerful miracle where he gave a man sight who was blind. It's an incredible story. You'll see on the screen that we'll be reading from John chapter 9, and there's like three chunks of verses. The whole chapter of John 9 is the account of Jesus healing this blind man who had been born blind. So we'll read through it. I'm going to fill in the gaps when we talk through what happened here in this account. And then we're going to see what that means for us. So you can follow along with me. I'm in the worship folder, or you can follow along projected on the screen. We read, "As he, Jesus, went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' said Jesus. 'In the pool of Siloam,'" this word means sent, "'so the man went and washed and came home seeing. They,'" these are the man's neighbors, "'they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. 'He put mud on my eyes,' the man replied, 'and I washed, and now I see.' Some of the Pharisees said, 'This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath.' But others asked, 'How can a sinner perform such signs?' So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. 'What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened.' The man replied, 'He is a prophet.' To this they replied, 'You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?' And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, 'Do you believe in the Son of Man?' 'Who is he, sir?' the man asked. 'Tell me, so that I may believe in him.' Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." This is the word of our Lord. This story about the man being healed, who was born blind, I think it's incredible. And it reveals a lot about ourselves. It really reveals a lot about our Savior. There you have Jesus, and right before this account took place, Jesus had been in a huge conversation with the Pharisees. John chapter 8, very big, very important conversation where they were asking him, "Who are you?" And he kept answering. And finally, he said, "I am God." Very clearly, he said, "I am," right? Knowing that he was God. And they picked up stones to kill him. And the Jews, the Pharisees, those religious leaders, they did not want anything to do with Jesus. They didn't want people to have anything to do with Jesus. They thought he was not true. So that sets the stage why the Pharisees were so against him. But then you see Jesus after this conversation, and he goes and he sees this blind man. And he goes and he heals him. And it's incredible. But as they're walking by, the disciples ask the question, "What did this man do? What sin did he commit, or did his parents commit, that he was born blind?" You see, the disciples, they had fallen into a common thinking of that time, that if something bad happened to you, or you were suffering some terrible affliction, it was because either you had committed some certain sin, or your parents or someone related to you had sinned in a severe way. And you can see the disciples as they're walking by, kind of talking amongst themselves with this attitude, as you look into their question, going, "What did he do?" And thank goodness we didn't do it. But Jesus answers this false belief. He says it wasn't because of any sin that this man was born blind, but rather that the works of God may be displayed in him. As we think about seeing clearly in this story, as we see what our Savior is about to do as we heard it, we also can see our sin. A lot of times, maybe we fall into that same question that the disciples fell into. We look at others and what's happening in their lives, and we wonder, as we talk with our friends behind their back, "I wonder what they did that they deserve this. I wonder what they must have done to suffer this great affliction," and all the time looking down our nose a little bit as we thank our God that we are not like them. In fact, we kind of fall into the same teaching. It's been infiltrating American and Western society slowly, oh so slowly, from Eastern religions. Have you heard the word karma? You guys know what that is, right? Maybe you hear it thrown around on the internet. "Well, that happened because karma." And that's not true, Jesus says. It's not true. But rather, sometimes God uses things to do the work of God, to have it displayed in those people. And that's what Jesus did. He took the mud. He put it on the guy's eyes, said, "Go and be washed." The guy washed and he could see. It was the greatest thing in this man's life, being born blind, being in darkness, never having seen the light of the sun, a sunrise or a sunset or the beautiful colors, only darkness, but now he can see. And as he washed, his neighbors, all those who knew him, saw him. And they knew who he was. This is the blind guy, blind from birth, right? He sits and he begs. What a terrible life he must live. Awful. Just suffering all the time. And so they're wondering, and they go to him. This is what's happening in those in-between verses. What happened? And the man tells the story. "I was blind. Then this man came, named Jesus. He put mud on my eyes, told me to wash, and I see. It's incredible." And these neighbors, these friends, these people who knew him, they didn't know what to make of it. So they took him to the Pharisees. Pharisees, the Jewish religious people, leaders of the time, they would help determine cases. They'd kind of tell you what was going on. And they questioned him because they didn't know what to make about it. They didn't really believe him. And so they said, "What happened?" "Well, a man put mud on my eyes, told me to wash, and I washed, and now I see." And they asked him again, and they asked him, "Were you really born blind?" And he says, "Yes." And then they get all upset because this all happened on a Sabbath. That's important. A little reminder of what the Sabbath was. Remember, God created the world in 7 days. That's Genesis chapter 1. On the seventh day, he rested and made it holy. Then, fast forward to Exodus chapter 20, God gives the law to Moses. And one of the commandments, number 3, is remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, right? So the Israelites were not to do any work They were to rest physically and spiritually. And the Pharisees, fast forward 1,000 years, loved God's law. They were zealous for it. They wanted to keep it so much, they made more laws so that you wouldn't even come close to breaking God's laws. So if you broke, you could break the Sabbath according to their laws, and it'd be just as bad. For example, on the Sabbath, according to the Pharisees, say your child or your brother or your spouse's leg was broken, right? You couldn't set it. You'd have to wait till the next day to set the bone. That would be considered work on the Sabbath. They were trying to protect the Sabbath day, but instead made more rules that didn't apply. And so Jesus, on this Sabbath, put mud on the eyes, healed the guy, and they were upset because he broke the Sabbath. But Jesus shows their sin. And he calls out our sin too, doesn't he? Like the Pharisees, maybe we can get caught up in thinking that we know it all. That's what they were thinking, right? They knew it all. They were the teachers. They had their rules. And many of us here have grown up in the Christian faith. We've studied our Bible from birth. We've gone to Sunday school. We've gone to catechism class. We've come most Sundays. We know what it is. And so when someone comes to us with questions or issues, whatever it may be, instead of listening with love, can't we sometimes fall like the Pharisees and get kind of this know-it-all attitude? This arrogance that we haven't made and we know completely what we need to know, so we don't need to stop learning or anything like that? Our Savior shows us our sin, the subtle arrogance that can enter our hearts, whether it's like the disciples who look at others that bad things have happened and we kind of look down on them, or that we get complacent and think we know it all, just like the Pharisees. And as we see our sin, we're reminded through this miracle of a man who was born blind who gets sight, that Jesus came to heal us who were spiritually blind in our sin, to bring us to faith. That's what he's saying in that last verse. Think about Paul's words. What did he say? You were once darkness. Not in darkness, but darkness. But now you are light. We are now light, not because of anything we have done, but only because our Savior, who helps us see him clearly. And that's exactly what happens in this account. I think this is one of those stories where Jesus just shines bright. I know he shines bright in every account, every story about him, everything that he's done. It's amazing. It's wonderful. But here, especially, everything that he does is so beautiful and wonderful. He sees a blind man, and instead of just passing him by, he takes time to give him sight. And then, when the blind man had been interrogated again, and the blind man's parents were brought in to confirm the story that this guy was actually born blind. And then his parents were kind of afraid what would happen to him, so they kind of left him to his own, what would ever happen to him. They said, you can ask him. And then as the Pharisees keep asking him, as you read those in-between verses, you can see it working out that this Jesus is something special, and something happened to him that's amazing, and he begins to lecture the Pharisees. You don't want to be his disciples, do you? And then they throw him out. And what does Jesus do? When he heard that he had been thrown out, Jesus went and found him, because the works of God were not done being displayed in him. Yes, he had been given physical sight, but now Jesus was going to give him spiritual sight. He was going to call him to faith, and we see that happen as he asks, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man says, tell me who he is. And Jesus says, the one who you see, the one who's speaking to you, that's the Son of Man. That's your Savior. You see, Jesus had to go find this blind man again, because when he was on the cross, Jesus, he had this blind man on his heart. He called him to faith because this is who he is, our Savior, the light of the world, who calls those who are blind and gives them spiritual sight. And so he does the same for us. He shows us our sin, that subtle arrogance that we can have, and reminds us that we were once dead in our transgressions and sins, and yet he comes, and he brings us to faith. He gives us spiritual sight that we may see clearly. He didn't do it by simply washing off dirt from our eyes, but in the waters of our baptism, he washed our sin completely away from us. at the foot of the cross, where we see most clearly, we see God's judgment against sin, but our love, the love of our Savior as he took it for us, we see that all the blood of Jesus has purified us from our sin, and that it, our arrogance and our blindness and sin has been paid for. And we see our Savior as we go in the Word, as he restores our vision day after day, as he calls us to repentance, but then reminds us of who he is, the Son of Man who came to see, who in us did the works of God. And as we see our Savior at the foot of the cross, at our baptismal font, at the Lord's Supper that we're about to take, as he comes with his forgiveness and life, we also see clearly our situation. For those of you who were here last week, you might be thinking, man, we have a couple sermons in a row about seeing. Remember Pastor Nemers preached last week, and it was, open your eyes, see the people in front of you. You have an eternal purpose. Every time you step out the door, you get to tell people about Jesus, tell those who don't know yet. We're reminded of that once more today. Did you hear what Jesus said right away in the first verses? We must do the work of him who sent me. It's not just Jesus out there doing it by himself. He could, and he could perfectly well, but he calls you to join him. He calls you as you see clearly your sin and your Savior, as you see clearly the sinful world in darkness, to join with him and to proclaim the message of the light of the world who shines. He calls you to be the one who gives light to a dark world. And if you've been paying attention to the news any time in the past week, right? You know it's a little blurry right now. It's seeing, for those of you who don't have glasses, or for those of you who have glasses, it's like seeing without your glasses. It's really confusing. You're not really sure of what's going on because there's this thing called the coronavirus, right? We have news reports about pandemics and nations shutting down and closing their doors, about people staying inside. There's fear and panic and worry. There's anxiety because we don't know if this is just a two-week overreaction or 6 months from now, and we're wondering what in the world is going on. Dear Lord, help us, please, right? And so we need to see clearly our situation. And our Savior helps us do that. After all, what did he do in John 9 today? He took a man who was born blind, and he gave him sight. And it wasn't like an overtime sight came to him. It was instantaneous. He could see perfectly clear. He is the all-powerful God. He holds heaven and earth in his hands. He calms the storms when they happen. He gives blind the sight. He even raised people from dead. He is all-powerful. He's in perfect control. And so when we see our Savior, we see him in control, and we see our situation perfectly clearly. Our Savior is in control still. And then we go to him in prayer, don't we, as we see our situation. Instead of worry and panic, instead of wondering what's going to happen in any situation, not just right now, we go to the one who holds all things in his hands. We have access to him as he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Second, we know what's happening in the world, but we're completely confident of what's going to happen to us. We see our situation clearly, don't we? We have eternal life as a free gift, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so when we see panic and fear or mockery and ridicule on the internet or amongst friends, what do? As we see clearly, and we see clearly our sin, our Savior, and our situation, we need to take care about what we say and how we act. First, we need to take it seriously, the coronavirus, or any tragedy like this. And whether it's an overreaction, we don't want to be the ones mocking and ridiculing, because there are people out there who are scared, who don't have the certain hope that we have. But on the other hand, we don't need to incite panic or fear, because we know that our God is in complete control. The other thing we need to do is to be the light. What did Jesus do with a man who was born blind? He gave him sight. In fact, he called out the disciples' false belief that something bad happened to him because he did something really bad. Instead, he used this terrible affliction to bring a man to faith, to give him the good news of the gospel, so that this man now has eternal life. When we see a terrible tragedy in the news, whether it's a pandemic or an accident or an attack, whatever it may be, we always can see that God will use this for the good of those who love him. He can use a terrible tragedy like the coronavirus to call those who are his, to bring people to faith as they are wondering what's going to happen to them, but as you get to tell them, Jesus is in control. He died for you. He rose for you. And in him, you have eternal life. You don't need to be afraid of what's going to happen. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, see clearly. See clearly your sin. See clearly your Savior who works for your good. And then see clearly your situation. That no matter what happens in life, God will use it for your good. This is just another one of those stories that illustrates Romans 8:28, that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. So see clearly and be the light in a world that is dark and confused. Be the light to give hope of eternal life, won by your Savior on the cross and in the empty tomb. See clearly, and as you do the work along with your Savior, know that you're not alone, that he who gives spiritual sight is walking around along with you, that he will always be there until he comes back. So, my brothers and sisters, see clearly. See clearly in your Savior. Amen. Please stand with me and confess the Christian faith that we have using the words of the Nicene Creed. You can find that in your worship folder or on the screen here.